It is springtime, and it's a very happy time. And there's all kinds of things going on around here as well. We're going to hear about some of them, and I'll tell you from the people who are involved, and then I'll tell you about what else is going on. This is Carol with Arts Live and Local. I'm delighted to get this CD. This is Wes Warmond from Cannon Beach, and it's a 2012 release, and I have been looking forward to it for quite a while. Wes plays every Friday night at the Cannon Beach Gallery in a mix and mingle, and plays with some other folks as well. Let's see. Who else is on this album? Jonathan Tate plays drums, and other musical guests also show up. And he's also playing this weekend at the Riversea Gallery on their art opening tomorrow night, which we'll hear more about in a minute. So here's Wes Warmond with Swallowtail, going out for springtime. Thanks for being here. And that is Wes Warmond from Cannon Beach. And you can catch him every Friday night at the Cannon Beach Gallery, mix and mingle with Wes and friends. And that's 6:30 to 8 p.m. And then again this weekend, as a special treat, he'll be at the Riversea Gallery. It's part of Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria. There is lots going on, and we're going to hear from some of the people involved. Well, the first people we're going to hear from, though, are not from Astoria at all. They came from all the way up in Tokeland and North Cove. How far is that? About an hour away?
About an hour and a half.
Hour and a half. That's far. But you may recognize that voice. That was Judith Altruda And she used to do a wonderful program here, and I'm hoping that someday she'll come back. Takes a lot of time, but it was quite enjoyable, telling stories, reading stories. Judith is a, I call you a jewelry artist, is that fair?
Yeah, metalsmith.
Metalsmith, jewelry artist. And she also helps to organize each year, this is the 7th annual Tokeland North Cove Studio Tour. And I'm telling you, it's worth it just for the postcard. I sent an email and said, where's my postcard? I want this. Beautiful. How many artists do you have coming this year?
I think we have over 20 this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Most all from the area, too.
Excellent. And one of those folks who is coming, and I don't think has been here at KMUN before.
No.
Aha, a radio virgin, is Asenya Antilla.
Yes.
Did I get that right?
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. And Senya, let's see, I'll read what I have and you tell me, because this is a bit of a mouthful. Indoor, outdoor wood mosaics and furniture.
Yes, all made from reclaimed ocean tumbled wood from houses that have washed away at Washaway Beach. Every year, several houses go down. And I've been collecting the wood for over 5 years, so I have a huge collection to work with. And everything I use is reclaimed from Washaway Beach, and mostly it's wood mosaics, and I've made a few pieces of furniture.
Yeah, I'm looking at these. They're gorgeous. Now, did you add paint, or is this,
no,
this is
I
how
don't.
They came to you?
I don't paint at all, and what's very interesting is as I sand the edge, and sometimes I try to leave the ocean beveled edges there, but as I sand, the different layers of paint come out so the edge can have even a really pretty lining around it.
Nice. Well, this is extraordinary. You've got greens and reds and orange and blues of turquoise. You've got lots of different shades of blue and yellow, and... Oh, I see what that is. That must have been the front of a drawer.
It's a drawer, and it's orange.
It's got the handle still on
it. And that piece I consider primo wood. The wood orange, pink colors, purple I don't find a lot of, or that has writing on it. That's my primo wood, so I treat that very carefully and preciously.
How big is that piece?
That is 60 inches high by 30 wide. It's a large panel.
So that's kind of the shape of a door.
Yes.
What do you put your stuff on?
It's all put on handmade cedar frames. And I wanted to make a very good quality frame so that it would be an indoor and outdoor. So that's why it's made of cedar. So all handmade cedar frames and stained for protection.
So when you say frames, are you talking about the... part that
the
goes
outside
around?
And what I attach the wood
to.
Okay,
so you've got a whole cedar slab, basically.
Yes.
And then you attach the wood to it.
Yes, with screws.
And how do you cut this wood up?
Well, mostly with it depends on, some of it I try not to cut. I try to keep, but I have to cut some. So I may use my small skill saw. Or on the panel types, I don't use a bandsaw, but on some smaller pieces where I have the same size wood, then that's actually cut on the bandsaw and the bandsaw, and I trim it with like a scroll saw. I use a scroll saw a lot.
A what?
Scroll saw.
I thought you were saying squirrel.
Excuse me.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's that?
I'm fascinated, so I'm going to ask you some technical question, and I hope that the listener is going to get the picture of this. I've got the photos in front of me, and they're quite wonderful. I see what you mean about not cutting up some of the pieces. You leave them with their rough edges, and what happens then? Obviously, it won't match another piece. Do you make sure it matches, or do you ever leave some of the back showing through, or what?
Please pose that question again.
Okay, so I'm saying here, when you've got some of these rough edges, it's not like this one.
I will trim them. I have to trim them.
You will,
to make
so
them
they
fit.
All do match in some way.
Right. Sometimes
they
there's little
meet up
spaces,
with others.
And I might put small pieces, tiny pieces that I cut on the scroll saw.
Okay.
Like to fill a gap?
Yes, yeah. To fill the gaps.
Right. Fascinating. And then you've got some gorgeous. You've got flowers, and those obviously are cut out, but it's still from that same found wood.
Yes, everything I use is from Washway Beach, reclaimed.
Okay. Now,
and each piece comes with photos of the houses that I can identify. So it is a historical tribute to the loss and devastation that occurs each year there.
This is pretty amazing. How long have you lived there? This is North Cove, Washington.
Well, I grew up in Raymond, which is 30 miles south. But I've lived and traveled around the world for the last 30 years.
Okay.
I came back. I ended up here. And I've always gone to Washway Beach. I grew up swimming at Washway Beach.
Was it called Washway Beach then? Or
yes.
Did the locals call it that?
It's been Washingway since late 1800s. So
were these houses, when were they built?
Well, there's been areas where there's a lot of grass, so things, but way back there was a whole town of North Cove, a schoolhouse, Coast Guard station.
Okay, so these houses that are washing away, which pieces you're using for your art, some of them are over 100 years old.
No, those are all gone. See, if I'm not there, I have to, when the house goes down, and usually that happens in the high winds and stormy weather.
Right, you need to be
the
right
house
there.
Goes down, well, not right there because it's got to break
down
up.
Also,
well, it's got to break up because I can't carry the whole house, although I do try to carry a lot.
I can just imagine you walking along with this
thing. So I have to time it where the wood is, you know, tumbled and broken up so I can collect it on the beach. So it's a lot of energy is involved.
Okay, now when you say tumbled, tell us what do you mean?
Well, the house falls into the water, and that slowly with the big waves and everything, it gets broken up, and walls and things and roofs sometimes just go right out. And there's one small cabin that went down last year. It was a one room, and we were there when it went down. One wave came, it went in. Another wave came, it went down. And third wave, it was completely gone. So I couldn't find any of that.
How long ago do you think that little cabin was built?
Most of those, it's kind of an area where they're not substantial homes. There's a lot of like summer cabins.
Shacks, fish
and
shacks.
Kind of, and things like that. So that's probably why the government has not really done much about the loss of these homes.
Who owns them?
They're all privately home. They were homes. They were developed by someone.
But when they go, you don't have to go to someone and say, your house went down, may I have the wood?
No, once it's on the beach, it's free to anyone because you can collect driftwood or anything on the beach.
We're not going to tell everybody where Washaway Beach is. Then you're just going. We don't want you to have competition. You're doing such beautiful work.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the reason I asked you about and one more question: why do you? What's with the periods after each letter? Is that just design, or do they stand for something?
Well, one of the first pieces I found, a primo piece, was a small white piece of wood that had black letters, like cargo print. You know how they put on old cargos
like with stencil?
Stencil with the periods. And that's why I did that, because it reminded me of old washed away cargo print.
Right.
It's not an acronym.
Right.
I do have the trademark on Washaway.
You do.
For wood, art, and furniture.
Wow. Okay, now, one of the reasons I asked you about the word tumbled is that, Judith, don't you use some tumbled glass?
I do.
In your jewelry, yeah.
Yeah, I've been exclusively for the last couple of years now with Victorian-era sea glass that's found on the northeast coast of England. And they had lots of glass manufacturing plants there from the 1800s, dying down in the 1950s. Even Corning had a plant there. And they'd make bottles and tableware and art glass. And they would just take the garbage, little bits and pieces, and just throw it either over the cliffs into the ocean there or into the nearby tributaries. So the locals who live on those beaches, and they don't tell you the names of the beach, like Washaway, secret beaches, it's not easy to get out there and collect that glass, but they find some real jewels. And I have two people in England that I buy from. And that's what I'm using in my work now. So it's over 100 years old.
So by the time you buy it, are they the small pieces that you use, or do you have to break them up?
I buy them. They're already sea tumbled,
So they've got those beautiful soft edges.
Yeah, and random shapes. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I was wondering, Senya, whether some of your wood, but it sounds like with the wood, if it gets too tumbled, it'll go under.
It goes out to sea or there's no paint left on it.
Ah.
And it may have an interesting shape, but I really fine-tune what I collect in the sense the more paint, the better. So if it tumbles too long, the paint's all gone.
Right, right. I'm still quite fascinated, and perhaps it's because I have admired and, for full disclosure, have even purchased Judith's jewelry because I love it. This is
beautiful.
My first visit with Senya, so I'm just and living here among the woods, the standing ones and the houses and all the scraps that we find. I'm fascinated when I look at your pictures. I would not know your process until I look at the middle one, and there you are sitting with all this junk wood, we would call
it. Yes, funky wood.
Funky wood, yeah. I think I have some for you at my house. I want to come clean up. So what do you ever, since this was furniture, do you ever get something from a dresser with like a mirror or, for example, we would talking about the glass, other kinds of stuff?
Well, I do. I just finished a piece that has a lot of mirror in it. But I found that on the end of the street near the house. I think the glass, sometimes I find pieces of glass and mirror on the beach. I collect everything on the beach I think could someday be interesting, and bright colored plastic and all types of things. I also use rope and other hardware and shells and agates.
Where do you store all this stuff?
Well, fortunately, I have only half of a basement to use. So each year, I'm a professional organizer also.
Ah.
So some people think that my well-organized wood is my art.
Oh,
so
my.
I have houses and houses all piled.
Hysterical.
And each year, it kind of just goes up.
Wow.
But people ask me, I collected this wood for 5 years to get the selection of the color and all the different types to work with. But people were bugging me for years. What are you going to do with this funky
with all this
wood
stuff? Yeah, well, now we find out.
You get
I just started
it,
creating a year ago, so I'm new to this.
That was my question. Were you making art of some sort before you got inspired by this?
Not really.
Funky
I'm
wood?
A teacher by trade, and
of what?
Well, I've taught many things: massage, Swedish massage in Santa Cruz for over 10 years, and I have a master's degree in teaching English to speakers of other languages. So I taught in colleges and universities in Japan for several years, India, at a Tibetan monastery, and Hawaii a lot. California. So I've had a lot of different careers, but this is really my first artist endeavor.
Well,
I've done little things.
You're making some beautiful stuff, and I love because it has become, what is it? Oh, I know the word I learned a few weeks ago is upcycling. Judith knew right away, upcycling.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, someone in Cannon Beach was doing upcycled jewelry, and I said, what is that? So you are upcycling the wood.
Yes.
And it's quite wonderful because, these are beautiful pieces, and the fact that you are recycling Washaway Beach and the homes. And do you live right near there, or you live?
No,
where?
I live 30 miles away, it's also a drive.
Okay, well, that's not too shabby, though. Probably your house is somewhere where it's safe.
Yes.
And it's not going into the ocean.
No.
That's a good thing.
This year, fortunately, has been very mild, and only 3 places have gone down. Last year, over 10.
They lose hundreds of feet a year of shoreline every year.
Wow.
Due to, the erosion.
And how many places are there that you could be losing 10 a year and still...
In the U.S., you mean?
No, I mean right here at Washaway Beach.
Well, it is washing away more than anywhere else in the Northern Hemisphere, although times are changing with all of the global warming and such.
Climate change.
But it's getting up close to a highway, which is going to have a serious consideration soon for many people.
So are most of the structures gone now?
There are still neighborhoods left, but they're, you know, they're getting further back. Yeah. And I have friends that you'd never think their house would be threatened, and now they're having to consider where they're going to relocate in the near future.
Yeah.
So it's moving into even more substantial homes now, because the area that was developed that mostly cabins has been going, but it is becoming closer to more substantial homes. And it's a serious, you know, upset for all of those people.
I'm sure.
And most of them have memories of going there every summer. Because the houses, I think you were asking me, a lot of them were built like in the 50s, the cabins.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, Judith, tell us, now that I've totally grilled Senya Antilla and her Washaway Wood, give us a rundown on some of the other artists, please.
Well, I think I mentioned we have approximately 20 artists, maybe a little more. And they're in a variety of mediums. We have painting. We have Wally Mann and Marlene are back this year. I should start by saying most of the art will be displayed at the Tokelen Hotel.
Okay.
Senya's work will be right outside, and she has her own booth because she needs a larger space.
Yeah.
And then there are three nearby artist studios that you could walk to from the hotel.
Nice.
One of them is mine, Judith Thaltruda Jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Wally and Marlene Mann have a studio, and Jeff Rowe Uto, which is Knock on Wood, talk about reclaimed wood. There's another one making beautiful wood
and
from
he
driftwood.
Was here, I think, last year or the year before.
Last year, he wasn't able to be at our Tokelen studio tour because he was at the Sofa Show in New York.
Oh,
poor
that's
guy.
Right. I remember you told us.
Anyway, he will be back this year with new work. And Wally and Marlene, they're well-known in this area.
Oh, yes.
They were not able to participate last year, but their studio will be open this year.
Just a lovely piece of Wally's on the
I
postcard,
love his
too.
Work. I love Marlene's. His wife's beautiful.
Oh,
work.
I see. Here's Marlene. Yeah. Oh, lovely. Yeah, I didn't.
And then we have Kennedy Creek Pottery.
Mm-hmm.
They are from kind of near Olympia, and they have wonderful pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcy Merrill, our intrepid photographer, this year she's showing at the Tokelen Hotel, not at her studio, because she did all the photo work on a book called Dogs Tell Their Stories.
Ooh.
And she and Rex Martin, who wrote the text, will be at the hotel signing copies.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You know, let's tell people this is happening not this weekend, but next Saturday. That's the 20th. From 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. at the Tokelen and North Cove. But what's the best thing?
Well,
find it on the map, folks.
You could. I'll tell you an easy way to get information.
Yeah.
Just Google the Tokelen Hotel.
That's good.
You know, you can find out how to get there. It's easy.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the hotel, there'll be free maps. The event is free, too.
Mm.
But there'll be maps that you can pick up that show you where the other studios are located, as well as excellent roadside signage.
Mm-hmm.
And on Facebook, we have an event page, which we're updating all the time with new images, and that's called the Tokelen North Cove Studio Tour.
Okay.
So if you Facebook that, you can see pictures of what we've been talking about today.
Right. And if you don't Facebook, you can just Google stuff. You will be able to find it.
I think there's a little article in Hipfish with some pictures, a picture of Senya's work.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well,
and Judith's beautiful rings.
Yes. Yeah. Well, the rings are gorgeous, and there is one right here, too. What is this?
That's red sea glass made in the ancient Mediterranean style. I've been studying ancient jewelry making techniques. So I'm combining that with the sea glass and silver and gold.
Nice. I'm more accustomed to the green, the darker. So this is quite gorgeous, too. But yeah.
It's a beautiful drive from here along Willapa Bay.
It is.
And we're just across the bay from here, kind of not far as a crow flies, but it is about an hour and a half, but it will be one of the most beautiful drives you could make.
It's great.
Undeveloped. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
If only that crow could pick up a few of us, it would make it easier. But I think this is well worth a trip. Yeah. I know it's well worth a trip.
And the Tokun Hotel. Oh, also Nelson Crab Cannery, the oldest operating cannery in Washington. They have a new art gallery that they've opened there. It's very cool. They'll be working there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's a nice place to get something to eat as well as the hotel.
Right. If you're thinking about lunch. So make a day of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you both so much for coming in. And Judith, I hope I didn't slight you too much.
I'm so glad. I was thinking that Senya's work is so interesting. Yeah, I was hoping that you would focus.
It's quite unusual, so that's great. But Judith also shows here in Astoria.
At Riversea. And the Sunday Market.
And Sunday Market. So you can catch her act on this side of the river as well. Thank you both so much for coming
in.
Congratulations on another fabulous show.
Thank you for having us for the seventh time.
Yes, I know. Oh, I love it. Okay. And that's, again, next Saturday at the Tokland Hotel and more. And I have a little music. This is to say goodbye to our friend Annette. We lost her this past week. So thanks to SLAB for this tribute. Stay tuned. KMUN KTCB.
This portion of your Mickey Mouse Club is brought to you by your friendly neighbor who bottles Coca-Cola.
And Mickey Mouse presents the Mickey Mouse Club, brought to you by the ABC Television Network, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday.
Come along and sing our song and join our family. M-I-C, K-E-Y.
Soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
M-O-U-S-E.
Okay. Bye, Annette. Thanks for being here. She died way too young, Annette Funicello. She was only 70 years old. And many people grew up with her. So thanks to SLAB for collecting that music. And I have some guests here. I thought I had one guest, and my one guest multiplied. So you know what? Why don't you grab that mic? I forgot to set you up with that. Pull it closer to you.
Okay.
There you go. Not too close. That's perfect.
Okay.
Well, Lyndon is here, and Lyndon is showing her artwork at the Riversea Gallery. She actually had a first night opening last week, along with Olinka Broadfoot, who is from Portland. And the work, Lyndon's work, is wonderful. Well, I've admired it for a long time. She's always been very generous with various goings-on in this town, including Spirit of the River. And She is joined. Hi, Lyndon.
Hi.
You got to speak up. You know, let's pull your mic down a little bit, too. There we go. There we go.
Is that better?
Okay, that's okay. Good. And she is joined by Miranda Rink, who is showing at Fort George and has a purpose. Hi, Miranda.
Hello.
So I'm going to talk with Lyndon first, and if you have any questions, just pop right in.
Okay.
I love having various artists in the same room, especially when they've never even met before, which is kind of fun.
Right.
So, Lyndon, I've seen your work, and sometimes it's an enigma. I'm not quite sure what's going on. But this time...
Join the club. Yeah. Right?
But this time there was a lot of the talk of connectedness, mm-hmm. and a universal connectedness. And
yes.
I wonder, is this something that's carried you always, or is this something you're dealing with right now?
No, it's something that's carried me always. It's not always evident, but that net that you're talking about,
yeah.
I believe, connects all of us, animals, plants, everybody. And what one of us does affects everything else. And it's the underlying formation of all of my work. It's not always visible,
mm-hmm.
but it was there at some point, and sometimes it's pulled forward and sometimes not.
Well, you talked last week about the wren's nest.
Oh, I am just under the spell
exciting.
Of this.
Yeah, what's this about?
This little cactus wren, I met him camping in the desert with some friends of mine, and he's just an amazing bird. He can walk on cactus like a floor. It doesn't,
how big is he?
Wow, that's amazing.
He's probably about the size of a robin.
Okay.
He's not real big.
Small, good.
He's the one that's the nest builder.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a joint effort. He's the one that does all the nest building, and he builds several nests. It's not enough to have one.
Yes, I love this. Tell this story. This was really cool, though.
Oh, he makes these nests, and I call them decoy nests.
Right.
I don't know if there's a better term uh-huh. for that or not, but the decoy nests are always real bright, and they're colorful, and he gets things out of the campground. He finds little bits of paper and shoestrings and paper towels and wrappers off of things, and he incorporates them into the nest. And they are just big, bright, almost neon things. If he could, he'd put a neon sign over it with a finger pointing it. Come here, right?
So how big does this nest?
Probably be about the size of a barrel. A small barrel cactus, maybe
okay.
6-8
so
inches in diameter.
Bigger than he is.
Much bigger than
yeah.
he is. But it has a very small opening.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that I saw this year had a big white piece of paper coming out of the opening that looked it looked like a little
toilet
doormat.
Oh.
I think it was toilet paper, yeah.
It looked like a doormat
that was saying, come on in,
come on in.
And then on the arm of the cactus, because these are all built down in the crotch of a cactus.
Okay.
And down off of the cactus arm, he had this big wad of white toilet paper that you couldn't have missed it for a mile.
This is hilarious.
But then about 5 or 6 cactuses over is this little tiny nest, very obscure and diminutive, and you hardly even know that it's there. And that's the real nest. So when the predators are off looking at this big fancy nest,
they're hidden away.
The girl is sitting on the nest in the real one. Going, ha, 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 you missed me.
Now, have you read about these guys as well?
A little bit. Not nearly enough. I intend to do more.
I'm just wondering if your wren is unusual or this is their pattern. This is what
I think this is their pattern. I have read this part about them
where
already.
Where do they live?
They're in the desert.
Okay.
South part of California, east of San Diego.
Okay.
That's where I do most of my camping.
And have you been dealing with this, the nets and the wren's nest for a while?
Well, it actually really came out in this body of work that's showing right now at Riversea, and it hasn't been seen anywhere else yet.
Okay.
But I have 7 more of them in process in my studio right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I am quite under his spell.
Okay. You're under his spell, but it also seems like... it's something of a metaphor.
Oh, absolutely.
For your own personal philosophy
absolutely.
And spirit. And
the grasses that he brings together and weaves into the nest become the netting that I believe holds us all together. And so it translates into the netting in my paintings.
How big are your paintings?
Smallest is probably 8 by 10. There's one in there that's probably 48 by 44.
Yeah.
It's the biggest right now.
And you're painting in what medium?
They're all oils.
They're oils. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Lyndon, how long have you been here? And
I was actually born here.
Oh, my God.
I'm a native.
Oh, my goodness.
I wasn't raised here, but I was born here.
That's okay.
I started school here, though. I went to Robert Gray.
You are one of the few. That's good.
And that's great.
I'm a native.
And you're back. And
I'm back.
How long have you been back, then?
This time I've been back for 8 years.
Okay. This time. So, because I noticed you also got your degree in art.
I did.
So you knew from early on, or when did you decide to take this stuff seriously?
Well, I knew from early on that I wanted to be an artist, but everybody discouraged me like they do everybody else that wants to be an artist by saying you'll never make a living at it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I tried so many different things, and I just was never happy. And I actually began my art career here in Astoria at Clatsop Community College with Royal Nebuchadnezzar.
There it is again. Which is why we need to make sure that the art department, the visual arts and the performing arts at Clatsop Community College stay strong and vibrant.
Absolutely.
Folks, here.
If you're listening right now, please keep this in mind and be willing to take action because it's so important.
It really is.
For our community and as a resource. I mean, I was thinking of all the high school kids who know there is a place there and can learn from mentors as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is, So I didn't realize that. That's exciting. And you are sticking around?
Absolutely.
All right. Excellent. Now, I understand you have a couple of solo shows going on, too.
No, those are finished now. But
they are.
I did have two solo shows in Portland in the Pearl District.
And were they this work or?
Some of the work that's at River Sea right now was in both of the shows.
What other kinds of work do you do?
What other kinds of work do I do? That's it.
What else was in the show is what I mean.
Okay.
I don't mean that kind of work. I mean this kind of work.
Some of the, I hesitate to call it surreal work, but it is kind of surreal. I don't know. It happens. I don't know where it comes from.
Well, you're what I remember, and I actually was hot and heavy on the bidding on one of those pieces, but I lost it. And it was, non-representational, but it was so exciting and dynamic.
Yeah.
And
I call those my critters. They're little just biomorphic forms, and they kind of swim around in an environment. And I find them. I don't know where they come from, but I find them in a painting, and I bring them out.
So when you start your painting, you don't have something specific in
mind. I have no clue.
It just
and I don't want to have
sometimes.
A clue. I don't want to know.
Wow. Well, let me move over, and there is a substantial age difference, chronological age difference, between Miranda and Lyndon and me. Lyndon and I are about the same.
Probably close.
Yeah. But Miranda's probably at least 30, 40 years younger. So so what are you doing, Miranda? Now, you are also... Okay, so let's remind you again. Lyndon's work is at the River Sea Gallery on Commercial. And tomorrow evening is Astoria's Second Saturday Art Walk. And it's a great time to visit the galleries because you get to meet the artists as well. So Lyndon and Olinka Broadfoot's work is there. I don't know if Olinka's going to be back tomorrow night.
I hope so.
Yeah. Her work is quite different and quite delightful. She's a Czech / Argentinian / American living artist. And the show is called Cross Currents with paintings and clay sculptures, and she's the artist in residence at a brick factory.
It's
and we
amazing.
Learned about that last week. It was pretty
truly amazing,
pretty fantastic. I just want to mention Imogen Gallery is featuring Jennifer Merced with Splat, a spring show. Great title. Abstract and wildlife mixed media, very colorful. Old Town Framing is featuring our friend Jeff Donnelly And the show runs through May 11th. And his work is very colorful. This one is Structures and Landscapes, his love thereof. And Lightbox is featuring a Portland Photo Month exhibit. So I believe that that's going on in Portland, and Lightbox is invited each year to join the Portland photography places in exhibiting photography. And then Kala Hipfish has something that's quite extraordinary going on. They will be showing, and by the way, I should say Lightbox doesn't open till 6. The others are at 5. The Kala, which is 1017 Marine Drive, has got two doors down from Lightbox, is Q Culture, and Wayne Bund is coming in. His show is Mimesis, or Mimesis, I'm not sure, and it's photography of gay and lesbian people in their 20s and 30s from Portland, and the photography is fabulous. And in addition, there is going to be a community dance that is open to everyone that goes on all the way past midnight if you stick around.
Ooh,
and
exciting.
Dance. And the dances there are pretty hot stuff,
yeah,
let me tell you. I think the DJ this time is someone we know and love. Come and find out. And the other one that I want to mention is Fort George and Miranda. What are you showing and why are you showing?
I am an artist myself, and I'm a chef at the Columbian Cafe. And my dream for the last 7 or 8 years is to open a backpackers cyclist hostel in Astoria.
Brava.
And so the last few years, I've taken business classes at Clatsop and have written up a business plan. I've been working with the Cedar program. They've been guiding me. They're really wonderful.
Good for you.
And so this show at the Fort George is a benefit for that project. I've put together an art show of, I think, 15-plus artists from the community. Really eclectic show. Some people, you know, new artists that are just getting started, and some well-known artists. Have got Sally Lackaff and Roger Hayes and Darren Orange. And
now I understand. I drove by,
mm-hmm.
and I peeked in the window, and I thought, that looks like Darren's work up
mm-hmm.
there. Now I understand
yep.
why. I didn't
yep.
realize
there's
it was
a little bit of everything.
Okay,
yeah, and
excellent.
And I have a couple of my own paintings up, left over from the food painting show that I did.
I know
in
you
January.
Don't have an avocado because that's on my wall.
That's right. You have the avocado.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of other really fun things going on. I will be doing henna on people throughout the night. I have a few massage therapists that are going to be working on shoulders and hands,
mm-hmm.
and Jessamine's going to be doing tarot reading.
Wow.
And then at 8 o'clock, Katie and Luke are going to play a little bit of music. And then after they're done, I'm going to speak for a moment. And all of the art is being sold by silent auction. So after I speak,
okay.
then Liam's going to announce who gets the pieces of art. And then the Holiday Friends are going to play.
So it's a whole evening.
It's a whole evening of fun and excitement. I'm really excited. I've been planning this for 2 or 3 months now.
And is the money that comes in is going to be...
It's going to go towards the business that I'm trying to start.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if someone is interested in working with you on this, what should they do? How do they get in touch with you if they can't make it tomorrow night, for example?
They can find me on Facebook. I have my own personal Facebook, Miranda Rinks, and then also the name of the hostel is Hostel Halcyon Astoria. Halcyon's after a Greek myth.
And that would be Halcyon.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. Wow. Well, I'm excited because I think it's an idea whose time came a long time ago,
yes.
but nothing happened.
Yep.
So I'm glad you're here to make it happen. Yeah.
Thank
Excellent.
You. Thank you.
Excellent.
I'm really excited about it.
Well, Miranda was here a few months back when she mm-hmm. had her own show over at Fort George, and I'm sure she'll be back again
yes.
to talk about her own art. But I did want to give you a chance to tell everybody what's happening here. So folks, you can, you know, you really can catch all of this. This is not one of these where you have to drive far. Everything is within walking distance.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have a really good time, support good causes, and at the same time see some wonderful art. And be sure to meet the artists if you're able to go tomorrow night. That's the funnest part. So congratulations on putting that together. And Lyndon, congratulations to you.
Thank you so much.
Wow. And yet, I don't know how you can put together all these shows at one time. Probably it feels
it's been
good.
Exhausting.
I was
going
yeah. So you're able to relax now, right?
Yes.
The last show for now is
tomorrow
up.
Night. I will probably be at the dance.
All right. There
I'll
you
see
go.
You there.
There you go. Okay. Sounds terrific. Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in.
Oh, thank
Lyndon
you.
At the River Sea tomorrow evening, and Miranda at the Fort George, and everything else going on. Don't forget, after all the art that you see and buy, then you can head over to Kala, see the art there, and dance your head off, and stay at Fort George earlier and dance and sing and have a good time with Katie and Luke and the Holiday Friends, all of our local wonderful musicians. Thanks so much.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Okay. You,
Carol. And got a little bit more time if all is well. I've got a poet out in the woodwork out there. I want to play a little music from Miss Massive Snowflake. They're going to be at the Fort George on Sunday, April 14th. That'll be this Sunday. KMUNS Doria, KTCB, Tillamook.
Dream dreams to come
Well, there's another fun band. I don't know if you could tell from that, but the way it started, I thought I was in the wrong place. But they are a blast, and they are going to be, that's Miss Massive Snowflake. They've been here before, and they're a lot of fun, and excellent musicians as well. So check that out on Sunday evening, this Sunday evening. Well, my last guest for today is another good old friend from KMUN. And by the way, I invited Jim Dott here, number one, because it is poetry, National Poetry Month, April. But also because Jim is a former and present programmer here at KMUN. He was here for a long time. And then he went away and some exotic adventures, and now happily he's back. But welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm so glad you came
it's
back.
Good to be here.
Although I was hoping to visit you guys before you came back, but, you know, things just time slipped away.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
Yeah. So in addition to reading bedtime stories, which you did then and you're doing again now,
yeah.
And when you do the bedtime stories, do you mostly do poetry?
I do. I always do a little bit, but then usually do a story or two,
as well,
too.
Because it's a whole half hour. That would be kind of tricky. But poetry is your mode of writing for the most part?
For the most part, yeah. I do a little bit of fiction and nonfiction, but mostly poetry. Yes. So.
And your poetry is not necessarily, is it ever rhyming poetry?
Oh, yeah, I do rhyme once in a while, but...
by accident, you mean?
No, accidentally on purpose sometimes, but also I've, you know, played around with different forms that have rhyme, and So I explore that. Not everything I do has rhyme by any means. So
you were teaching. Are you teaching now? Or
I'm subbing.
You're subbing. Okay.
Yep.
Jim taught school here, and then he went off to Malaysia with his family. And they lived there, and Jim taught. And he has gifted us, the Brownsmead community, for many, many years with a nature poem each year at Thanksgiving. It's something we all look forward to. But I noticed that after your trip or during your trip, you were writing about some other experiences as well. So what's the story?
Well, I usually get inspired by what's going on around me most of the time. Last few years, I've written some poems about experiences that I had overseas in Southeast Asia. So you want to hear one?
Sure.
Okay,
love
this
it.
One is from Asia, Cambodia, in fact. It's called the Landmine Victims Band. And it's got a little subtitle, Bantay Shri Temple Siem Reap District, Cambodia. Eyes, legs, feet lost to landmines. The 10 musicians strike up a tune as we approach the back entrance to Bantay Shri Temple. They sit cross-legged on a wooden platform under a shading tree. Two-stringed fiddles, zither, dulcimer, banjo, bamboo xylophone, flute, gongs, cymbals, ching and chap, and drums. One plays a leaf pressed between his lips. A basket for tips sits in front of him. They sell their CDs for $10 each, enough to buy and set 2 claymores. One day a farmer gathering firewood, tethering a water buffalo, taking a shortcut to the rice paddy, or trying to defuse a mine found while planting bananas. Now music is their livelihood. So cheap, so easy to set, millions still lie in wait. So many dollars and years still needed to clear them away, the cost of 100 CDs enough to pay for the removal of one. As we tour the temple ruins and restorations, we hear them play as others arrive, depart. A few bars, stop. A whole tune, stop. The air is hot, still, except for swallows catching insects. A few small tour groups, voices in English, Russian, Khmer. Shutter clicks. Even in mid-afternoon, the sandstone blocks glow like sunset. Monkey warriors, each missing one arm, guard restored towers. Eight-headed Nagas glare down from lintel corners. Apsaras, lovely dancers, intimately carved on doorside panels, give this place its name, Women's Citadel. When we leave, the band is playing again. We stop, listen. The leaf player's high, reedy notes soar and swoop above the strings and drums like a swallow feeding overhead. We buy a CD, receive smiles and another song in thanks. Listening from a spot of shade, we praise our luck at having our sight, appendages, our limbs, the means to get to Bantay Shri on this afternoon. We linger, then turn and walk away. They continue with a slow lament, the notes fade to the snap and whir of grasshoppers, the crunch of our footsteps as we keep to the center of the graveled path.
Whew. Wow. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you definitely captured the entire scene. Yeah, I can see it and feel it. Were you very aware of this when you were in Cambodia, of the mines and what?
Yeah, I'd heard about it and, you know, knew from reading articles and things like that, so...
So you knew what you were looking
yeah,
for.
Yeah, I knew what was going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And every temple does have a little group there all throughout that area. So.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Got something else for us? Got one more poem, maybe?
Oh, sure.
Or a couple of short ones if you have. And Jim, you, for many years, you did a show that was somewhere between 5 and 8 minutes, sometimes got a little bit longer even. and I actually had it on this show.
Yeah, it was on your show. When you had 2 hours, I think.
Never had 2 hours.
No, you never had 2 hours.
I need 2 hours.
Oh, okay. That was the problem.
What did you call it?
A Calendar of Writers.
A Calendar of Writers. And you had, who was your first partner with that?
Barbara Hansel, and then
Karen Temple
is my most...
Right.
We did it for a number of years.
And you, how did you feel about the idea of having your very own radio station? This is a shameless plug for the fact that we are 30 years old next week, Wednesday. And by the way, I just want to tell folks, Wednesday, there's going to be an open house. That's our real birthday, the 17th of April, 1983. From 4 to 6, open house, bring a potluck item and join us. And then Pam Trenary's jazz show is going to feature some of the oldies. Sharon and Carlos are coming in. Won't
great.
That be fun?
Yeah.
And some of our local oldies, too. So, Jim, when did you get involved with KMUS?
1984 or 1985, yeah, okay. I believe.
Well, we went on the air in 83, so you're one of
the... Yeah, I remember hearing it in the spring of 84,
mm-hmm.
when I lived in Klatskanai. Mm-hmm. I said, well, wow, this is cool. There's a community station.
Yeah.
I think I heard bedtime stories for the first time. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, probably was by 85 I was...
Hooked
and on the air.
On the air. Isn't it amazing to have our own radio
amazing.
Station?
It's been a great opportunity. And
it is. And a lot
I've
of
got
us...
got to do lots of different things on KMUN and a lot.
Anne did a show too, didn't she?
Yeah, well, that's sort of how we got connected. And
oh, you are a radio romance.
Yes, we are.
Oh, my God. Oh, how sweet. I love it. Yeah, there were several of those radio romances mm-hmm. here. But most of all, it's our romance with KMUN and now KTCB and also KCPB, which is the newest. But the idea that there's a voice for people here. You got one more real short one for us, and then...
I don't have a short one, but I can read part of one.
Okay. Yeah, because I have a few things I want to let folks know about.
Well, these are some excerpts from... Okay. Poem which is about the Astor Column, so it's more closer to home. So I'll just read a few of these. They're little kind of vignettes of mm-hmm. views. It's called Views from the Astoria Column. At the trailhead, a young eagle whistles from the top of a spruce. Crows begin their garrulous day, calling back and forth through the trees. Over the crest of the hill, a lone raven rides the wind, holding to one spot. Clouds cap Saddle Mountain's pommel and cantle, the skirt dark against the gray. On Young's River, a duck hunter's boat motors out to moor at the edge of a brushy eyebrow of an island. The ka-chunk, ka-chunk of a shotgun near Fort Clatsop. Geese flock and fly over the bay. A rainbow rises from the west-pointing prow of the city, arcs east to a bulk carrier anchored on the river. When early sun pours through a cloud gap, the rainbow brightens tenfold, and roofs steam in the sudden warmth.
You know what? I'm going to invite Jim to come back when I have a folk show, maybe.
Okay.
Or maybe one of these, but I think maybe on a folk show so we can take a little more time
sure.
to read some more poetry. Thanks so much for coming in.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for the great poems you've written all these years. And Jim Dott is my guest. And when do you do your bedtime stories?
Monday nights, every other Monday. So not this Monday, but the following Monday I'll be back on.
So you can find them on the air. Thanks, Jim.
Well, thank you, Carol.